heaven and judgment is Revelation chapter 20. We're going to start at verse 11 and read through to verse 15. Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works, by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. And death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So let's pray, and then I'm going to go through this passage tonight. Father in heaven, as we come together and talk about judgment, some things that aren't that nice, some things that can be scary, and we read a passage like that and it can be quite daunting, we ask that you'd be with us and you'd make it clear what these words mean, that you'd be with each and every one of us and you would reveal yourself to us and how we can come to not be in that place and how we can be with you for eternity in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. Do you want to be in control of your life? Do you want to be in charge? Rule your own life, be in control of your destiny? Do you want to be able to do what you want, when you want? Have no responsibility? Total freedom? Fulfill all your heart's desires without a care or responsibility in the world? I think we all do. It's not one of these trick questions. We get frustrated here on this earth, don't we? We don't seem to be able to do that. We have responsibilities, things we have to do, people over us we have to obey, our parents, our bosses, the government. Is heaven the release from that? Is heaven the place where I can finally be, as quoted in that poem Invictus, is that the place where I can finally be the master of my fate, the captain of my soul? Ken took us through heaven last week. He walked through the new heavens and the new earth when God would cleanse the earth as we know it and bring his people down from heaven to live in harmony together. But if you recall, this isn't a place of total freedom. It's not a place of anarchy where no one is in control. This is a place where God is the one who created you and I. This is a place where he rules, where we submit to his laws and we obey him. This is a place that is filled with the awesome presence of the Almighty God. So God runs the show there. He is in absolute control. So the question is that a place that you want to be? Or would you rather God keep out of it? Would you rather just do your own thing and just be left alone? That's some bad news. You see, there's just this small matter that we have to deal with, and that is that God, the one who created you and I, well, there's actually a lot more riding on him than we first realized. He didn't just create us and walk away, as we're going to see here. So Colossians 1, 15 to 17 talks a bit about this. It says, Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. So perhaps we knew that part. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. So do we know this part? Everything was created through him and for him. He existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together. See, he didn't just create us, but he holds all creation together. This isn't a God that made us and then just moved on and left the world to run itself. This is a God who is intimate with every detail of his creation. He holds it together daily. moment by moment, the reason our bodies can breathe in and out, the reason the laws of physics hold, the reason the sun rises again, that the earth keeps rotating, that the magnetism in the earth continues to cause it to rotate. All of these things are held together by the God that created us. You see, you can't actually have life without God. This is the biggest lie in the universe today, that people would tell you, the devil would tell you, that there is life outside of God. The serpent told Adam and Eve this very thing in the beginning. God told them that if they ate of the fruit, that they would die. And the serpent said, "You won't die. Surely you won't die." But they did. See, life apart from God means death. And this lie is the same today. This lie that you can live your own life, you don't need God, you don't have to obey Him. But it's the same lie that the serpent has been telling since the beginning. You do indeed need God. Let's take an analogy. We read the passage about the prodigal son there today. Who, when they were younger, or perhaps now if you are younger, has ever thought about running away from home? Come on, be honest. Yep, we've all thought about it. Maybe some of you older ones still think about it. you think, my parents are unfair. They boss me about. They tell me what to do. It's not fair. I want to do my own thing. I want to rule my own life. So you think about running away. When I was younger, I was convinced I was going to go join the circus. And I know my dad would say to me, "Oh, so when are you going to leave to the circus? Is that before or after dinner?" I'd say, "Oh, after dinner. After dinner." See, we start to think about the implications. How am I going to eat? Who'll feed me? How will I get the money to survive? My parents have always helped me with that. How am I going to buy ice cream at McDonald's if I don't have any money? That's what we all think as kids, right? Maybe you don't like your job and you want to quit. Your boss is unreasonable. He asks you to do work and you don't want to do that. You just want to get paid for doing nothing. You want to be able to do what you want. Who does he think he is anyway? And then you realize that you need the money to survive. You won't be able to make ends meet without a job. We start to realize that if we want the good things our parents provide, the food, the ice cream, the McDonald's, the roof over our head, we need to obey them. They have a claim to tell us what to do. And when we get older and perhaps a little bit wiser, we realize that they were doing what was best for us anyway. If we want the money that a job provides, we have to do what the boss says. So coming back to us, the analogies aren't perfect at all there, but coming back to us, we want to rule our own lives. We want to be in control of everything. We want to live forever. We want there to be no more pain, no more tears. So we want all the good things. We want all the bad things taken away, but we don't want to acknowledge our Creator, our Heavenly Father, the one who created us. We're living in His house, and He gets to call the shots. He created all things, and all things, in Him, all things are held together. He holds all creation together. In the same way that our parents deserve our obedience, how much more the one that created us deserves our obedience? So we may want to run our own lives, but we know there are consequences if we try. Just like the consequences of running away from home, there are consequences of us trying to run our own lives. Let's read our second passage again tonight. Then I saw a great white throne and Him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. A judgment is coming. We talked a lot about heaven in these last few weeks. Well, how do we get there? This judgment is the gate. This is the defining moment where it becomes clear who will be in heaven and who won't. We've just read about how that judgment's going to take place, how it's actually going to work. So we will all go to stand before God. Our works are all put before God, and we are judged based on these works. How will we stack up? See, regardless of how many good things we've done, the bad things we've done will still have consequences. God says the penalty that due our bad works, even just one, is death. So no matter how much good we've done, we can never undo this punishment of death that is due us. And God also says that our good works are tainted with our bad attitudes, wanting to glorify ourselves. He says that our good works are even like filthy rags. So do we even have any good works? It really isn't looking good for us in this judgment. We have zero chance of ever being able to pass this judgment. Perhaps you've wondered, why do Christians talk about Jesus coming to die? It seems a bit of a morbid religion, always so focused on death. You just heard the context that sets the scene for that, that we'll all face a judgment. And it's pretty clear that there's nothing that we can actually do to make it to heaven, right? So that's the context for it. And see, God knew this, and in his mercy, he provided a way that we could join him in heaven, despite the fact that it's pretty clear that we have no chance. See, it would be totally corrupt of him to not punish us for our disobedience. In the same way that a judge who lets a perpetrator go free today would be corrupt. So God has on one side this judgment that he has to enact, but he's also a merciful God. And so this is where Jesus comes in. Perhaps the most famous verse in the Bible sums this up very nicely for us in John 3:16 and 17, where it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Now again, perhaps you've read this a billion times, but think of the context that we've just read. And now when you see this again, it starts to fill in the picture and become much clearer what really we're being saved from and really where it all fits together. See, God sent his Son to take that punishment, to take the death sentence for each and every one of us. So when we stand before God in judgment, when he reads out those deeds, when the penalty of death is pronounced for those that did believe in Jesus' work, God looks and he sees Jesus. He sees that the penalty has already been paid. When he looks at us, he sees the Son in whom he is well pleased has taken our place and taken the penalty due our bad deeds. See, this is the way to get to heaven. Verse 16, the start there, that whoever believes. Now, this isn't just a simple acknowledgement of a fact, right? Even the devil believes in God, but this is rather a heartfelt turning away from our life of rebellion, believing in the God who created us, submitting to his will and striving to live a life that is pleasing to him. This is an active belief, not a passive belief. It's a belief that flows right through to our actions, right through our very being, a belief that changes everything about us, our priorities, our aims in life. But for some, this cost, this active belief is too much. If you want to run away from home like our prodigal son did, if you want nothing to do with the God who created you, then you'll be in a different place after this judgment. These are the consequences of going your own way, of running your own life. It's a lot more serious than not being able to afford McDonald's or ice cream. When it comes to that day and you want nothing to do with God, he's just going to give you what you want. He'll withdraw himself from you fully, and you will be in a place where God is not. You'll still have to bow before Christ as King, but you'll always have what you wanted, a place where God is not. But you recall, we established earlier, that through Christ, everything is held together. He created all and holds the whole world together. So this place without God will not be very pleasant at all. The passage we read tonight calls it a lake of fire. It doesn't sound a nice place. Other parts of God's word describe it as a place with constant weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's grinding your teeth in anguish, in despair, in anger, in pain. All the frustrations of life that we feel now, times a thousand, million, think of it again. These common graces or mercies that God gives us every day, the way he keeps us safe driving, the success he gives you in your workplace, the way he allows you to just have these moments of joy, these will all be removed. You want a life without God? You got it. You want to rule your own life? You got it. But like when we want to run away from home, you have to accept the consequences, the good with the bad. So you're faced with a decision to make. We read about the prodigal son tonight. He wanted nothing to do with his father. He went off living by himself. He soon saw what life was like without his father. He came crawling back to his father, happy to even just be counted as a servant. See, when we come to that judgment day, the time will be too late. So what will you decide? Will you believe? Will you believe in the God who made a way for you to be in heaven, a place ruled by him and his good laws that are for our benefit? Or will you try to go your own way, ending up worse than the prodigal son, in a place filled with despair and anger, a place without God? So I ask the questions again that I asked at the beginning. Do you want to be in control of your life? Do you want to be in charge, rule your own life, be in control of your destiny? Do you want to be able to do what you want when you want? No responsibility, total freedom to fulfill all your heart's desires without a care or responsibility in the world. You've seen the consequences. You've seen where that leads. So it's now up to you to make that choice. If you need help making that choice or want to talk more about it more, feel free to come up and chat to me about it after. But that's the decision that we have to make tonight.